Man Up, brought to you by Construction Professionals, a program dedicated to inspiring and helping men live lives of heroic virtue. Join Joe Stopulis every Monday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. And now, it's time to Man Up.
Man Up, also underwritten by McDonald Imaging Solutions.
Welcome to Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio, broadcasting from the Mercy One Studios. Heard on 1150 AM, 88.5 FM, 94.5 FM, and around the globe, streaming online at iowacatholicradio.com and on the Iowa Catholic Radio app. Please like our show on Facebook and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or whatever you get your podcasts. I am Joe Stopulis, and today I'll be joined again by Matthew Umbarger to discuss the life of Jacob today in our Great Men of the Bible series. Let's start in prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. St. Michael, the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and the snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray, and do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Last week, if you listened, which you should listen, if you haven't, go back to the podcast and listen, we had Matthew Umbarger on to discuss a combination episode of Isaac and Jacob. In my tremendous wisdom, I thought we'd be able to cover both in one episode. Obviously, was not the case. We made it just to the tip of when Jacob is starting. So today is part two of our conversation with Matthew Umbarger. Today is going to be about Jacob and the life of Jacob and what we can learn from him. Stick around. We're headed to a short break. And when we return, Matthew Umbarger will be back with us to talk about Jacob and the book of Genesis. I want to thank McDonald Imaging Solutions. They are sponsors of Man Up. If you were at the State Fair this year, they were the ones who provided the new tents and the Pope on a Stick fans that we used. McDonald Imaging Solutions is a family business with thousands of promotional items to choose from. They do things from labeling to marketing, printing, and provide all kinds of promotional products. Marty will personally help any business, big or small, to build their brand with corporate apparel and promo items. McDonald Imaging Solutions. Building brands, attracting new customers online at McDonaldImagingSolutions.com.
Thank you to Mercy College of Health Sciences, downtown Des Moines, for underwriting our show, The Uncommon Good, with me, Bo Bonner.
And I'm Bud Marr. A degree from Mercy College provides endless possibilities. Students have access to patients with complex medical conditions, state-of-the-art medical facilities, highly motivated healthcare professionals, and classroom professors that transform them into servant leaders.
You can start the programs in fall, spring, or summer. There are endless possibilities available online at mchs.edu/kwky.
The Catholic Tuition Organization provides tuition assistance to qualified families so they can send their kids to our Catholic schools. Great tax benefits for donors and great education for our kids. Online, ctoiowa.org.
Thank you, Confluence Brewing Company, for underwriting Christ is the Answer with Father Ricardo and for your support of Iowa Catholic Radio. Father Ricardo is featured daily at 11 a.m. Monday through Friday. Confluence Brewing Company is located off the bike trail south of Grays Lake, confluencebrewing.com.
My help comes from you. You're right here pulling me through. You carry.
Welcome to Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. We are broadcasting from the Mercy One Studios, heard on 1150 AM, 88.5 FM, and 94.5 FM. I'm Joe Stopulis, and today I'm joined again by Matthew Umbarger. Again, he grew up in a farm in southwest Kansas, was ordained in independent Christian churches in the Restoration Movement as a preaching minister and missionary, and took his young family to Israel in 2002 to serve in Beersheba, Israel. While there, the exposure to Jewish origins of Christianity and early Christian literature drew them all into the Catholic Church. Matthew completed his graduate studies in Hebrew Bible over the course of his 9 years in Israel and then moved back to Kansas. Holds an MA in theology and a PhD in Hebrew Bible. Matthew's an assistant professor of theology at Newman University, and he previously joined us last week for a conversation on Isaac, the great men of the Bible, Isaac, and today we're going to discuss Jacob. Next in line, welcome back to the show, Matthew.
All right. Thank you, Joe.
All right. Good to be back. No time to throw Bo and Bud under the bus. We already did that once. don't need to rehash that. So the conversation we had last week, obviously setting the stage up, was mostly with Isaac. And so we ran out of time, and we were going to do it all in one episode, and we had to push it together and separate them into two because we covered so much in Isaac, which is good to do. The story of Isaac got us basically not very far. We went from Genesis 24-ish, 22, through roughly 25, 26. So the main thing we got from last week in the conversation was Isaac was a very prayerful man, a man of discernment, but also kind of a hinge figure, a guy who took us from the story of Abraham to the story of Jacob. And we kind of set up the birth of Jacob and Esau. And we are getting to the part now about where Esau sells his birthright. This is, again, as you'd mentioned last week, you know, we look at it and like, this is ridiculous. Like, a lot of these stories are so insane, but to you, you're saying there's a deeper meaning to a lot of these stories that we as Americans in 2019 just can't realize. Can you walk us through that story of Esau selling his birthright?
Well, the main thing about that, so you I think we feel bad for Esau, and I think it's okay to, you know, to mourn a little bit for him, but we feel like he got taken advantage of. I think sometimes we think of Jacob as like this evil genius who is manipulating his brother, and Esau despised his birthright. This isn't to, you know,
That's not your opinion. That's not your opinion. That is the words from the Bible. And thus, Esau despised his birthright. So again, not your opinion. That's actually a quote.
That's right. Yeah. It tells us, and he was willing to sell it for, you know, the old, older translations, they say a mess of pottage. We're basically talking about red lentils. Like, it's good Lenten fare. It wasn't even a steak dinner. It was just, He comes in from the field, and I think that's the thing. We can see Jacob as kind of, he's a man of action, that's for sure, but he's not impulsive like his brother. Esau is really a slave to his desires, and he cannot discipline himself long enough to think about the consequences of what he's doing. He wants something, and he asks for it. In that story, it really makes him sound like a caveman, kind of. He says, "Give me some of that red there," and that's why his name is Red Edom to this day, it says. So he does kind of come off as a man who speaks in grunts and, you know, gestures, and it's not because he's stupid. It's because he's a slave to his desires, to his passions. Whereas Jacob, even though he certainly is a man of passion and desire, he's willing to sit back and make a plan to think about not necessarily what God wants for him to do, but at least to consider what might be best for him in the, you know, the coming years. He has the long view.
And we'll see that over and over again here in the next few chapters, as he tends to do that many times. Well, and another quote from this is from Hebrews now. We're in the New Testament. Hebrews 12, 15 says, "See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness spring up and cause trouble, and by it many have become defiled, that no one be immoral or irreligious like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal." So the book of Hebrews calls it immoral and irreligious, a lot of it stemming from the fact that he just didn't care. I mean, he seemed to not even think about it.
That's right. And you also have to consider what the birthright signifies. So it's not just all of the riches that he's going to get from his father. But in terms of salvation history, I mean, he's basically giving up the right to be the ancestor of the Messiah. So he's giving up that huge honor.
That's a very short-sighted view for a bowl of pottage. I mean, I love red lentils, but not that much.
That's right. So, he is a tragic figure. But I don't think we should feel like he's been manipulated. He's just a slave to his flesh, which, you know, is a good warning for us during this time of Lent. That's why we fast, so that we won't be a slave to our flesh in all sorts of ways. And one of the ways that, you know, our stomach really, really does kind of rule over us, and a way to kind of get a hold of our fleshly desires is to get a hold of our stomach.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. A lot to we got so much to cover in 20 minutes. I don't know how we're going to do it. But we're going to keep moving here. We now move forward to Genesis chapter 27, and now this is the blessing. So this is where Isaac blesses Jacob, and again, talk me off the ledge that Jacob's not being deceiving here. We all hopefully know at least somewhat of the story here where Isaac's dying. He's now blind, and we can discuss the, you know, what the deeper meaning behind that is. But so Isaac's blind, and he's going to bestow the blessing upon Esau before his death. And Rebecca and Jacob, Rebecca overhears it, tells Jacob, they make a meal for him, he gets the blessing. So he deceives Isaac into giving him the blessing instead of Esau.
That's right. So he's totally deceptive here.
Okay, I was waiting for you to tell me something good about this. Okay.
No, I think from the standpoint of moral theology, Jacob is clearly in the wrong.
Okay.
His mother is clearly in the wrong.
All right, good. I was waiting for you to turn that one on me. Okay.
Yeah. But as I was saying last week, that doesn't mean that we read it the same way that the original audience would have. I think they would have relished some of these details, and they would have really celebrated how wily Jacob is. You know, he's kind of like Bugs Bunny pulling one over on Elmer Fudd. Not that Isaac is Elmer Fudd. I think Esau kind of is a little bit. Mm-hmm. But just he's that classic trickster figure, and it doesn't mean that he's morally in the right. But you know, they sit back and they say, "Wow, you know, what a smart guy! How clever he is!" And we don't tend to read it that way. We focus on the moral consequences of these decisions, and I think that's a good reading as well. But it's good sometimes to remind ourselves, you know, the way these stories might have been received in their first hearing might not be the way we're hearing them today. But, you know, he's clearly deceiving his father. And in a way, I'd say stealing, you know, Esau accuses him of stealing his birthright, and I think that's what he does. He's stealing the blessing.
But is he stealing it, though, if Esau sold it to him? Is it, I mean, Esau should, he didn't steal it from Esau in theory, because Esau was short-sighted years before that.
You're saying that Jacob has already, you know, it rightfully belongs to him because he purchased it.
Yes, with a bull's potash.
Yes, right. So there is a question as to whether what he is kind of deceiving his father to receive here is the same thing that he has purchased from Esau. Hmm. I'm not sure that they are the same thing.
Gotcha. Yep.
So the birthright, they certainly go together, but the blessing, I think, is more of the spiritual blessing. So one way to look at it, I think you could say Jacob has purchased the material blessing of Isaac from his brother, but here he deceives his father into giving him all of the spiritual blessings that were coming to the
So the birthright is a twofold thing, right? You get the spiritual blessing and the lineage, and you get to kind of rule the family, as it were, and then you also get the material. And so the material was half or two-thirds of, if you had more than two brothers, you got half, and then everyone else split the rest. And if it's just two brothers, two-thirds, they got one-third. So that's the material side. The one here you're talking about is the actual blessing. Okay.
Yeah, this is a spiritual blessing, and this is really, it's kind of hard for us to understand because there's some cultural stuff going on here, too. This is really, it's a mode of prophecy. It's not just asking for God to, you know, it's not just a kind of cheap little prayer that's actually trusting that God is going to work out the things that are prayed over them in a providential way.
Well, we got to keep moving forward here. There's so much going on. So then Jacob runs away, basically. He gets it and runs for the hills because Rebecca, again, overhears. She's got good ears. She overhears.
She does.
Esau is going to try killing him, so he flees. Well, then Esau marries an Ishmaelite. Has, as we talked about earlier, married someone not of the – married a basically a Canaanite woman. And then Jacob has
He marries the Ishmaelite to try to make up for marrying a Canaanite.
Okay, yeah. And so We have,
he thinks his parents will be happier with that.
We have in verse, this is in verse 27, or chapter 27, verse 46, and it says, Rebecca says, if Jacob marries one of the Hittite women such as these, what good will my life be? So she, again, getting back to the marrying well, this is a theme that happens two or three, probably three or four times in these in these stories of marrying well. And so then I'm going to fast forward here. You have Jacob's dream in verse 28, and then Jacob meets Rachel in verse 29, or in chapter 29 is the story of Jacob meeting Rachel. And Rachel is obviously the apple of his eye. He loves Rachel, and he wants to marry Rachel, and he gets into this pact. And now this is really where you can see his deceitfulness is going to come back and hit him right in the face pretty hard.
Exactly.
And so Jacob,
so he doesn't really get away with it.
No. Well, no. Not he loses in the long run. So Jacob then has, so the father of Rachel is Laban, and Laban he basically says, "Hey, I will work for you for 7 years if I can marry your daughter Rachel." And he says, "That's a good deal."
Yeah.
They, 7 years he serves him. On the night of the wedding night, he pulls a fast one on him and gives him his older daughter and says, well, the older daughter in our, where we come from, gets the blessing. She's the one that's married first.
Yeah.
So obviously a bait and switch there. He then has to serve another 7 years to get Rachel. So he got 14 years of service to Laban before he can finally marry Rachel, and all because he wanted to have the younger one first. And Laban pulled a fast one on him.
So and there you see that pattern again of the younger and the older. It's interesting. Yeah.
So he absolutely pays his dividends. He has to pay the price for what he did to Esau. But you start to see here now it really gets into, you know, he prospers a lot, and we see his forthrightness, his ability to to delay gratification, right? So he's a smart guy.
Oh, yeah.
And that comes through over and over again. He's just a smart guy who sees the future. Well, so he has his flocks, talks about how much he grows in prosperity. And eventually here we get to where I'm trying to see how far do I want to go ahead here, because we're going to get to the birth of all of his children. And that's an important thing here, is we've got all these children that are going to come to him, but not from Rachel. So how many had before Rachel? He's basically 11, right? 10 kids before he has Joseph.
Yeah, 10.
And it's through slave daughters, and it's a mess. But
he winds up eventually with four wives, because he not only gets the wives, the sisters, but he gets their handmaidens as well. Yeah.
It's a competition. It becomes a competition between them all.
That's right.
And it's pretty, I mean, again, reading it through eyes today, it's really, I mean, you couldn't show this to a 6-year-old or a 10-year-old. I mean, it's pretty in-depth story of promiscuity.
It is salacious, to say the least.
Yeah, quite a bit.
Yeah.
But
it's a soap opera.
Again, I think a lot of that comes back to the way that he treated God early on, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is part of that. He's being humbled. He's being humbled over and over and over again.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know that he's seeking humility.
No. No, I don't think he is either.
But it comes to him anyway. And I think one of the big messages of Genesis is that God gets his work done in ways that we wouldn't anticipate, in ways that we would not choose. But he gets done what he wants to get done. And his blessings, I think those blessings that Isaac, his father, prays on him, we see those beginning to pay off with all the sheep and cattle that he amasses while working for his uncle. There's funny stories there, too, that we don't have time to talk about. Mm-hmm. But you also, I think, you start to see the spiritual blessings that his father is praying for as well, which includes, you know, turning him into a man of character, a man of humility, which culminates, I think, in the wrestling match when he's coming home.
So that's in Genesis 32 now?
Let's see here. 31. So at the end... No, excuse me. It is
32.
Yes, 32, chapter 32, verse 22. That's right.
Yeah, go. Yeah, please, yeah. Please walk me through again. For me, I have in my lack. You have a PhD. I've got a business degree. So walk me through the the symbolism behind the Jacob wrestling match.
Well, it's just a beautiful, very concrete story of an encounter with God that results in conversion. And one of the things, because the Hebrew Bible is epic narrative poetry, it doesn't tell us about emotions. It doesn't say, well, Jacob felt sad or Jacob was surprised. Instead, it tells us what they do. And the actions convey, or what they say, and those words and those actions convey what they're feeling. And this encounter with God, it's obvious that this changes him. I mean, he gets a new name and everything, but Jacob is different after this. The story, he's a different sort of individual. You don't read about him tricking anyone, for instance, after this. And he comes away from it with a wound. In verse 26, the being that he's wrestling with touches the hollow of his thigh, and he wrenches it out. You know, I think he dislocates his hip, actually. And, you know, and it says that he limps. He walks with a limp from that day forward. And so this encounter with God, in a way, I think it's a symbol of it wounding his ego in a way that it needed to be wounded so that he could be spiritually whole. And so he has this, his name, Jacob, in Hebrew, Yaakov means ankle grabber. Ekev means ankle. So he's got this kind of lousy name. And then he gets this name, Israel, which means, it can be translated a couple different ways, but one of the popular meanings, and the one I like, is that it's somebody who wrestles with God, a God wrestler. So he gets this really cool name.
It's a significant upgrade in names. Angle grabber to wrestles with God is significant upgrade.
Yeah, yeah, but it also costs him. And I think I love this story because I've been, you know, some of those moments in my life where I've had to let go of my will and what I want and embrace God's will for me. It hurts when you do that. But I cherish those wounds now. I see what God was doing there.
Well, I think that's a great way to kind of tie a bow on the entire conversation of Jacob, which is that story of him really solidifying his humility. So over all this stuff, he's pretty prideful, and God's humbling him and humbling him and humbling him. And then, as you mentioned, after this point, you know, he and Esau meet, and that's actually a very good reunion. And he's humbled. And then we'll get into the story next week with Alan Hunt on Joseph. But again, now he becomes a man of humility. And I think
that's
that
right.
Is really the story is even as God works on us in our lives as men today, the importance of humility. For Jacob, it took a lot for him to finally get there.
Oh yeah,
but when he did, he became a man of tremendous humility. So, Matthew, I really appreciate you joining us for these two episodes on Isaac and Jacob. I think it's a great help to have you to walk us through, especially a guy like myself who doesn't quite understand the intricacies of what's going on with some of these stories. So again, I appreciate everything you've done, and good luck out in the Holy Land.
Well, thank you very much. And you know, I think you know more than you're giving yourself credit for. I was impressed by you flipping through here, and you know these stories pretty well. So.
Well, that's a Jeff Cavins Bible Timeline. I've done it a few times.
Go.
It's enough for me to get at least a puncher's chance at this thing. So, again, Matthew, thank you so
you
much.
You have the bones of the story.
Thanks so
that's
much
right.
for joining us.
All right. Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Awesome. We're going to stick around. Stick around. We're going to head to a short break, and when we come back,
Thank you to Mercy College of Health Sciences, downtown Des Moines, for underwriting our show, The Uncommon Good, with me, Bo Bonner.
And I'm Bud Marr. A degree from Mercy College provides endless possibilities. Students have access to patients with complex medical conditions, state-of-the-art medical facilities, highly motivated healthcare professionals, and classroom professors that transform them into servant leaders.
You can start the programs in fall, spring, or summer. There are endless possibilities available online at mchs.edu/kwky.
The Catholic Tuition Organization provides tuition assistance to qualified families so they can send their kids to our Catholic schools. Great tax benefits for donors and great education for our kids. Online, ctoiowa.org.
Thank you, Confluence Brewing Company, for underwriting Christ is the Answer with Father Ricardo and for your support of Iowa Catholic Radio. Father Ricardo is featured daily at 11 a.m. Monday through Friday. Confluence Brewing Company is located off the bike trail south of Grays Lake, confluencebrewing.com.
My help comes from you. You're right here pulling me through. You carry.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. My thanks again to Matthew Umbarger for joining us. Final thought on the story of Jacob. Read this today. Jacob finally realizes that God's goodness alone does not rely on his righteousness. He is not entitled to God's mercy just because he started following him. Jacob now saw himself as someone who is entirely dependent on God's mercy and goodness. Just like Jacob, God will humble us and make us realize that we are nothing apart from him. God is the source of all the blessings we enjoy today. We must recognize that we are completely dependent on him, and thus it is imperative for us to become humble to see how insignificant we are without the grace and love of God. Thought that was a great way to tie a bow on the conversation of Jacob. Next week, Alan Hunt, Dr. Alan Hunt, will be back on with us to discuss the life of one of my favorite figures in the Bible, Joseph. And that has nothing to do with my name, just because he's a great figure and someone we can learn a lot from. Thank you again for joining us today on Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. I am Joe Stopulis. It's time to Man Up.
Man Up, inspiring men to live out their call to holiness with Joe Stopulis. Heard Mondays at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. Brought to you by Construction Professionals.
Man Up, also underwritten by McDonald Imaging Solution.